Hi everyone, Bob Phillips here. I'm still here with the 007 group, and I happen to be standing here with, it seems to me, you're the next special agent, Mr. Robert Hoole. How are you today, Robert?
I'm fine, thank you, Bob. Yes, I am the new 007 agent for Ottawa.
Oh, for Ottawa?
Yes, watch out.
Well, in that case, I'll email Parliament to let them know you're on your way. But a 007, do you mind if I ask how you became involved with the 007 group?
I was asked. With this particular group, which is one of the reasons why I said, oh yes, of course, it'll be my pleasure. I really believe in this. It's not so much an ideology, it's really a concept, and it's really working outside the mainstream. And I don't mean negation here or anything like that. It's really outside, let's say, curators, which tend to have a lot of influence and power, and they tend to forget that they have a job because of us, because we produce work. And I'm an artist, a practicing artist for over 40 years. And so I know, and I've been a curator too, and I've never took that role. And I've been on boards where committees would turn around and say, well, we have to charge artists for membership as well. I found that to be uncomfortable for the simple reason that here we are as artists, we're producers of a product, we're producers of works of art, and curators need these works to be able to put together an exhibition or to be able to look after a collection. That collection that museums and galleries have, public collections, they were made by artists and they need to be looked after. But many times curators do not pay attention to us. So when they told me that this is outside of that, outside of this structure, and outside the agencies that provide grants for artists, yes. And I said, wow, okay. I said, this is cool. And you know what? It's sustainable. I think it's sustainable because there have been artists like Norval Morisot, whose products or whose paintings have a market, a very special market and a very lucrative market. And you have artists like Alec Janvier as well, who's still alive, is, I think he's in his 80s, whose work is sustainable to, as well. And you know, years ago, when I was a student in Montreal in the 70s, I came across the Indian Group of Seven.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's right. They had an exhibition at a gallery in Montreal called the Dominion Gallery. And I got to meet Bill Reid, I got to meet Jackson Beardy at that time.
Oh, my.
And you know, all they talked about, and I asked them, because I was a young student in art history at McGill, I asked them, so what do you guys do? What do you talk about? You know, do you talk about theory? And no, and of course, we don't do that either. Well, some of us do. I retired this year from Ontario College of Art and Design.
Really?
We talk about theory, we, you know, polemics and stuff like that. You know, it has nothing to do with why we produce work. We produce work to sell it, to
yes.
be able to get viewers, mm. somebody to look at our work and say, I'm going to pay that amount of money for this work and I want to live with it. And this is what they were telling me, the Indian Group of Seven. Oh yeah, we got together because we wanted to talk to each other about our exhibitions and where we could exhibit and work together to have exhibitions together. And of course, 007 Collective is doing that.
Exactly.
And I am just honored to have been asked by the group to come as a special agent to Ottawa and do something with them.
Well, they're actually a very, very intelligent group. First of all, they're very sound artists.
Yep.
But the intelligence that I see there is to not be a closed system.
That's right.
Tonight they have invited Bonnie Devine. The next one is yourself, Robert Hoole, so that it reaches out. It's not just locked inside.
And it's not stratified that they are senior artists, middle career artists and emerging artists. That's kind of stratification and that kind of also marketplace. You know, okay, your paintings are selling bigger than ours, and no curators.
Which is a very nice departure.
Yes. Our administrators, arts administrators, I mean, we like them all. I certainly do, you know, and they do too. But this was necessary now to ascertain freedom and some reality to why we produce work to sell.
Exactly. Are you working on anything in particular? Or?
Well, I just had a major show at the University of Manitoba. I did an inaugural show. The School of Art at the University of Manitoba opened a brand new gallery.
Oh, really?
And I was the first person to exhibit there, and it's a great privilege for me. And it was about my residential school experience. It was awesome. It was painful. My entire family came. They cried, each one of them, found one of my drawings and stood in front of them and started to weep. It was cathartic. It was very healing. And right now, I have an exhibition at the Art Gallery of Windsor. It's the third location for a multimedia installation that I created as a result of a residency at the Canada Council Paris Studios. In 2006, I went and spent 4 months in Paris to study these drawings by a French romantic painter by the name of Eugène Delacroix. What he had done was he drew in 1845 11 dancers. They were Mississaugas. They were misnamed as Ojibwa, but they were Mississaugas. 1845, it was Mangoudas.
Yes.
George Hendry, half-brother of Sacred Feather, Peter Jones. Anyways, I went there, saw the drawings in the Louvre. It took me several weeks to get into the Louvre.
Oh, yes.
To see the drawings. And spent 4 months there, would walk and along the Seine, drew buildings and bridges and everything. But I was there to study. Looked everywhere for them at the museum, see if they may have left anything. And then I had an exhibition there in 2010 as a result of this residency, and was called Paris Ojibwa, and it's 12 feet high. It's about the size of a room. Two walls are cut off, so you see just the angle. And it's in Windsor right now, but it opened in 2010 at the Canadian Cultural Center.
Oh my.
And then it came to Peterborough last year, and now it's at Windsor. At Windsor, it was really lovely because the people of Walpole Island showed up.
Oh.
And those are the direct descendants of George Hendry.
Oh, my.
In 2009, the Mississaugas of New Credit had heard that I was doing this project. They asked me to go and make a presentation to their chief in council, and I went and talked to them about it. The day before I left for New Credit, I said to myself, oh my God, you know, these are not really my people, but they are identifying with them. I'm a Soto, Anishinaabe, you know, Anishinaabe Soto, Anishinaabe Ojibwa, Anishinaabe Mississauga. We're all the same people,
yes.
Just different dialects and
yes.
Everything. And so I went and talked to them. And the day before, I just banged my head against the wall. What have I done, you know, appropriating? And I said to myself very quickly, and I said, no. Identify with these people. They're, you know, and I, you know what? When I studied art history at McGill, in 1972, I was in my second or third year university there, and I took a course, on romantic painters, and that's when I found out about these drawings.
Oh my!
And I waited all these years, and 1972 to 2005, I applied for this, and I said, I told the Canada Council, I said, I want to go and study these drawings by Delacroix. And historically, history-wise, this entire thing unfolded in front of me, a living history. I could not have been blessed more.
But on the other hand, we could not have been blessed more, because by doing that work, you have drawn attention to something that otherwise would have gone unnoticed maybe for centuries, in the same manner as that beautiful work that you did about residential school systems with those beautiful pieces. I can still see some of those beds.
Thank you very much.
Well, if you hadn't have done that kind of work, either for the Mississaugans or for all of the others who have gone through that.
The Sodos.
No, you have done marvelous.
Thank you very much for saying that. When I work on a project and I'm inspired by history a lot, I will go into detail. And what did I find, Bob? I found that Mangudas had written a travelogue in the first person. He published it in 1848. Self-published about this experience.
And it's in English or?
Yeah, it's in English. It was mind-boggling. That's where my strength came from. And I said, this is the first person. This is in the first person. And I said, you couldn't get more authority than that. And that's why Paris Ojibwa is very special to me. And what it has come out of that as well, meeting the descendants. George Henry, a direct descendant, came to my studio and saw those drawings while I was still working on them. I never realized what I personally uncovered for myself, but also the humanity that came out of that, you know, with Paris Ojibwa, which is now until January 6th at the Windsor Art Gallery, and it'll blow your mind. I hope you get to see it. I know that when my family came last year and all my sisters and my brother came to Peterborough and they saw it, they just cried. Because there's an honor song in there as well.
Oh,
you know?
Yes, I'll do everything I possibly can to get there.
You have to experience it. You have to. It's a salon. It's a replica of a salon from that period that they would have danced, and you see portraits of them dancing away from that room. And then you hear this honor song playing as they move away. They're going east. It's a landscape from my own reserve in Manitoba, and it's a cemetery. It's not a cemetery in the painting, but it is from there. And then you see Lake Manitoba facing east, and of course, people are buried for the resurrection, they will face the east. And you know what? The first time that I began to draw them was in 2008. It took a whole year to sort of recover from the Paris trip. I began to draw them. I envisioned them, their feathers disintegrating. It's the spirit.
Yes.
And I began to realize as I began to weep. I had brought them home, back to Turtle Island. I'd brought them home. It was just the most incredible experience that I ever had at my age. You know, I'm 65, but I cry easily now.
All I can say to you at this time is Chi Magwitch, and once again, thank you for all you have given to us. Chi Magwitch.